Oh, it's got to feel aggravating for the national media in some respects, because I know that they have been chomping at the bit to make this thing about the Packers passing the Bears in all-time wins. Like, we talked about it on our fantasy show, and we never talk real football on the NFL Fantasy Live show. And I'm like, why are we talking about this? If the Packers win and the Bears, like, why are we assuming the Bears are going to lose? Why are we assuming the Packers are going to win? Neither thing happened. It's amazing to me. And I think that a lot of the national people are now upset that the Packers are not going to get that closest. And you know what? It might not. Now, it's one of those things that you look at in the future and you're like, they're not going to catch us. And if they do, it's not going to be long sustaining. But at the same time, there is a chance that the Bears can just put a little breathing room between them, setting up a showdown with the Green Bay Packers at some point. But you know what? There's a lot of stuff ahead of time. We got a Week 11 game. And Sammy, let's start the show.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast. The Sick Podcast. With Adam Ray. The Sickest Chicago Bears and Fantasy Football Podcast, brought to you by Underdog Fantasy and Air Pura. Sports entertainment like no other. It's gonna be sick.
As stated, it is Week 11. Welcome to the Sick Podcast with Adam Rank. We have got an amazing show set up for you today. We're gonna have Tim Jenkins of Jenkins Elite to break down Justin Fields today. We're going to have our friend Connor Orr of Sports Illustrated joining us. And if that wasn't enough, and you're like, Rank, that's too much show right there. But we're going to have Lawrence Jackson Jr. of NBC Sports. And, of course, Lord Don't Lose. He is going to be joining us as well. It is going to be a huge show. We're so happy that you're here with us today. And I do want to go back again. I'm, again, putting the cart before the horse, worried about the all-time wins. I think, to me, still a little bit of a big deal. I don't know. There was something special about it. And I know that a lot of people don't talk about it. A lot of people don't care. And to be honest, people didn't care until the Packers got close. Then everybody all of a sudden, then it became a big story. And then once the Bears start putting in some breathing room, which is going to happen, now everybody's going to go back to not caring. And that's fine. But it's been cool. You know, and if you think about it, over the last number of weeks, we've seen how much the Bears have garnered a lot of attention. Justin Fields being one of the most electric players in the NFL. Good Morning Football on Friday dubbed themselves the Jack Sanborn show of record. And I know my friend, our friend, Draft Dr. Phil and Shane, they're going to be super upset about this and they're going to take shots. Don't listen. If the national media wants to jump in on something that we've seen for a while, that's fine. Like, you can't be mad at somebody who lives in Arizona who's like, I really love Portillo's. So you're like, yeah, okay, yeah, it's fine. You're late to the party, but cool, you're here now. I'm not going to be upset about it. So it's a fun time to be a Chicago Bears fan. And again, it goes back to the fact that Justin Fields is playing so well. So here to break it down today, our first guest was a high school standout at Thunder Ridge High School in Highland Ranch, Colorado. But by the way, how cool is your high school if you're Thunder Ridge? We're the Thunder Ridge. He went on then to go play at Fort Lewis College, eventually reaching the NFL with the St. Louis Rams, playing in the CFL with the Calgary Stampeders. He is the founder of Jenkins Elite, a quarterback academy whose alumni includes Panthers quarterback P.J. Walker. He is one of the best in the business when it comes down to breaking down the quarterbacks on Twitter, and he's a legend. Please welcome to the show our friend, Tim Jenkins. Although I just met you 2 minutes ago, but I'm calling you our friend already because I feel that close to you.
I appreciate it. I'm pumped up, and I'm pumped up about that intro. That was a great intro. And I think Justin Fields is getting a lot of attention, and it's deserved.
It's rightfully so. And by the way, I want to throw this out there too. We're anti-Jeff Fisher, right? Because we don't like him. So we can be mad at Jeff Fisher. He was your coach for a little bit. But again, what have you seen out of Justin? What was your pre-draft look on Justin Fields coming into the league? Because it seems like a lot of people, whenever they talk about him, it feels like Did you not see him play at Ohio State? Did you not want, like, it just seems weird. What was your pre-draft analysis of him?
I think that first and foremost, my biggest, I do like people to change their minds. And I think I like that because I'm one of them. I think with Justin coming out, you saw how gifted he was. I wasn't like mad at Justin. I was mad at Ryan Day, right? Like they go in to play Alabama, who is going to give you quarters. And they basically ran every single route concept that quarters was designed to cover. So it's like you didn't even give the shit of the kid a shot to go and be successful in the biggest game that anyone was going to see him play. Right. So to me, it was like that's where I walked away from the tape. And it's like it was really hard because you saw how gifted he was. And then simultaneously, you saw these struggles. But were these real struggles or were they like, OK, we went and we said, we're just going to play it like we're playing Indiana and you're playing Nick Saban. Right. So that was part of the issue for me. I do think when you look at where they were at the beginning of the year, there were some real struggles to be had with what I call dealer's choice, right? Mirrored concept. Yeah. So think you got two receivers on each side and they're both running the same concept. We always called that dealer's choice because you're essentially betting on the quarterback to get to the right side.
Yeah.
They were having struggles with that early. Then they've adjusted. They've gone more pure progression where it's like, hey, man, no matter what, we're going to read this thing 1, 2, 3, no matter the coverage. Justin excels in that. And then I do think there's a little bit of once you start having a ton of success, now they reintroduced some of those dealer's choice last week, and he made great decisions. Whereas earlier in the season, you know, I remember the first time I turned on some Bears tape, you sit there and you're like, man, the last time spot was that open – right, is this coming Thursday when you go play Aunt Judy in Turkey Bowl, right? And she's an off corner. That's the last time it's going to be that open. Yeah. And he missed it, but it was because his eyes weren't in the right spot. I think they're doing a really good job helping expedite his growth, but also challenging him with some of the concepts. And I think he's rising to the challenge.
No, that's been one of the best things. It how comfortable he looks in the pocket. I know this week the game against the Detroit Lions did not work out the way that most Bears fans wanted. But immediately, the first play of the game was a designed run. But you could see the development in the pocket. You could see him making his reads, making his progressions, which is always weird then when you see some of the national media being like, this guy can't throw. Let me ask you, can he throw? Can Justin Fields throw?
Not only can he throw, I also think the thing that I have an issue with is that he's a one read and go. Because if you watch any of his scrambles, too, there's nothing about him in scramble drill where you're like, oh, yeah, he's got his eyes down. Like, think about how many big-time completions he had against Detroit where he's moving around in the pocket, scrambling, and then delivers. Like, a guy doesn't then all of a sudden look up. Like, that's not how it works. So, to me, it's like, I don't like that. And then the big thing for me was when you saw the progression, you know, they said on the TV broadcast, hey, it was his third progression. It's his fourth because that alert clear is one, right? So, he worked alert clear, shallow, deep hank, then gets to the backside cop route and delivers a strike on 3rd and 8, right? Like those are down and distance where if somebody works 4 progressions, they understand what the heck is going on out there. So to me, that was exciting. There are still enough clips to where if you do not like Justin Fields, you can point to and say, look, he missed this screen route and he threw it outside, or oh, this cop route, he threw it high and outside. That's a bad throw. And it is, but it's such a like kind of, I think like falsely intellectual argument because you sit there and you like try to point to something that, you know, darn well, Tom Brady missed last week too. It's just the nature of playing quarterback, right? Like we miss throws. It's the same, like MLB pitchers, right? They miss their spot and the third base coach can't come and take out their kneecap. Right. So if you then think that all of a sudden, hey, these guys are supposed to hit everything. And it's like, we have guys trying to tackle us. That's where it's not a good argument. So I do think there's still those throws that he'll clean up. I think a lot of it comes from footwork. I think they're going to adjust. So right now he has his right foot back and then he'll do kind of like we call it a punch three where you move your left foot and then take 3 steps. I think they'll get into the Brady like one skip where he takes a step and then hops and it'll speed a lot of it up. I think if they get that installed this offseason, I think the timing issues or any of those accuracy things, I think they evaporate into thin air.
Well, it's true, though, because when you watch it, you see it. And I think that, you know, the group that I watch the games with, of course, at Rip Beer Company in Huntington Beach, PCH location, by the way, we'll be there this Sunday. We're pretty good about like that. Those things happen. Like, it's not like playing Madden. It's not like everything's going to be a dime every time. There's so many things happening. You're like, okay, like I see what he's seeing. I understand what he was trying to do there. Like to me, I guess when you're producing a morning television show, though, it's easy to cherry pick some things. And that's the one, that's one of the things of television production that goes in. So if you're a former Eagles running back and you're like, I don't think Justin Fields is good, they can send a production assistant to go find all of Justin Fields' bad throws. They do that for us on the fantasy show. Like, they'll be like, well, show, do you want a Josh Allen good film or bad film? Like, always show good. When it's me, always show good, because I can understand. Because I always make that remark too, because I, you know, obviously we're judging, like, who am I? But you're judging players and you're like, this guy's not good. Well, compared to NFL quarterbacks, he's better than me. Okay, I'll always throw that caveat in there. But it's at the same time, it's like, but show, like, these guys are, you know, they're gifted, like, to get to any level. And I'm sure you get this in your life all the time. It's like, I was a decent high school athlete who tried to go to the next level, which was college. And you're like, the funnel that goes from there, then when you just consider how far up it goes into the professional ranks, it's like, these, you get here, you're not a first round pick by accident. Yeah. But, you know, some people seem to, I'm sorry, I'm monologuing right now, and that I should not be doing that because you're sitting right here. Earlier in the season, though, the Bears were not doing a lot of designed runs, and that's something that's kind of developed over the last couple of weeks. Is that something that the coaching staff's looking at it long term to be like, we don't need to do this yet, we need them to work on some other things? What kind of what would be the explanation for that?
I think they just didn't know. This will sound crazy, but then I'll make it not sound crazy. They didn't know how athletic he was. And the reason I say that is because when quarterbacks break runs in practice in the NFL, no one can even get close to him. So they don't know that actually, while this guy got close to him on film and you called him down at practice, he wasn't, because he broke that tackle in real life. But you don't know that. Then they got into it. They got into the season and they saw him get into scramble drill where he broke a couple of big runs. And they said, okay, maybe this kid is as athletic as people were trying to tell us. And that's where you then start to get the design run. So to me, it's like, that's not an indictment on the coaching staff. No. It's just the reality of the NFL. It's not like high school where you still tee off on your quarterback in week 8, right? Like, oh, he's live too, cause he needs to be tough. Like, that's not the reality of what's going on in the NFL. So that's, I think, why we're now seeing it. I also do. I'm a fan of the quarterback design runs. I think it's good for this offense. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get too ahead of myself because I still think the most dynamic plays happen on a true drop back, because there were some cool, like on the read zone, he popped a big one to start, and then that 67-yard touchdown was on read zone. But to me, what I love is it's like the one that he then hits Cole Kmet on the touchdown.
Yeah.
That's, you could say read zone. In reality, it's a boot pull because those guys stay at the line of scrimmage, and that's more or less a design scramble situation. And then how many times did we see him convert third and, you know, 12 against the Cowboys where it's like, oh, okay, I'm out of the pocket, right? Backside spin or frontside step up. Like, those are the hidden yards that, like, QB design run, a DC doesn't lose his mind in the box. The defensive coordinator goes, well, you know, we played it wrong. We'll be fine next time. When you drop back on third and 14, scramble around, run and get it, defensive coordinators lose their mind. Like, there's something to be said about how paranoid these guys are going to be going in to defend him and how good the scrambles are. So to me, it's like, I'm excited about the QB design runs. I don't want to see them go overboard with it, because I still want to traditionally drop him back and let him use his gifts, right, from the man upstairs, where it's like, dude, I don't know where, like, there's no one on planet Earth that can do some of the stuff he's doing, and then go and get out of there and make a play.
Is the style safe, though? Because I hear a lot of people talk about that. And for me, you know, tell me. I'll give you my dumb opinion, where it's like, if you've seen this offensive line, like, I trust him more just being a runner than I do having him stand back there at times. But is it, I'm with you. I don't think that, I think that they're starting to now develop that, because now that they've scared defensive coordinators around the world, that they can be like, we don't have to run these as much. But I still think, like, it is a style that he needs to play, right?
Yep. Yes. And then, is it safe? Is such a great question. Yeah. I think you've got to look at, like, the total picture. He is so much more Josh Allen build perspective than RG3. And this isn't a shot at RG3. Great Not player, at all. Right? But he's so much from a build perspective, more Josh Allen. And then I truly think he protects himself so much better than, say, Josh Allen. The only issue I would have said was, like, last week, when he goes to punch it into the end zone, like, do I think we could have maybe gone pylon instead? Sure.
Yeah.
But it felt like he delivered the blow a lot more than he got it on that play.
Oh my God.
His shoulder and gets into the end zone. So to me, it's like, okay, I can live with it. But I think he does a better job protecting himself than Josh Allen. And Josh Allen has proved to be durable. So I do think, like, listen, anytime your quarterback's out of the pocket, it's going to be much more of a dangerous game than in the pocket. However, we've seen with guys like, you know, Tua, guys like, you know, Brady, when he got his knee, like, those are pocket guys and it's still a dangerous game. So to me, it's like, I think his style is safe because I think, one, he's extremely well built. And then two, I think he does a really good job of protecting himself. So I'm not as worried from that perspective. And I just feel like they're doing a better job than, like, so, like, the play Trey Lance gets hurt on, that's straight up quarterback power.
Yeah.
And from, like, between the 20s, right? So to me, I'm like, don't love that. Chicago, when I've seen quarterback power, is down tight, right? Like, hey, it's within 4 yards. Like, you know, hey, we're going to try to go punch this in for a touchdown. So I get it more. I would love to see not that much quarterback power, because I think when you're in tight is when you can kind of get rolled up on. You have to have a little bit dose of it. But no, to me, I think it is sustainable. I think it's safe. And I do think it gives you breathing room to develop everything else that he'll have to transition to at some point. Yeah. Like, I think we're seeing it with Russell, to be honest. I think, you know, a lot of people want to dunk on Russell for whatever reason in Denver. But I think a lot of it has to do with, like, eventually you can't scramble as much as you could. And unless you've developed those other aspects, and I think Chicago is helping him develop those other aspects, there's going to be a ceiling. And I think hopefully they continue to pour into that other aspect, and then there will never be a ceiling for him throughout his career.
No, and let me ask you, how similar, though, because obviously Hackett and Luke Getsy were on the same coaching staff in Green Bay last year or the last couple of years. How similar are those two offenses with Chicago and Denver? Because I always said in the beginning of the season, too, I'm like, if Russell Wilson's not getting it, I'm not going to freak out if Justin Fields is a little behind, too. How similar are those offenses?
I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, I've watched every single clip of both of these offenses. Nowhere similar. Like, there's
really?
Not even concepts. Like, a lot of the concepts you guys see that you're using with those, like, we call them cop routes, but the corner stops to really sit in those voids. Denver hadn't ran once. And I think it's a great route concept. A lot of the, like, even just like the run action shots, you would have not have guessed that those guys have ever spoke football before, right? Like, it's just like, it's that different. I also think, like, and this is, you know, I try to not take shots at guys without knowing what's going on inside. But, like, I think the truth of the matter is, just from the film, I think Chicago's doing a way better job of leaning into their guys' strengths. Like, I think Chicago, if you really, you know, I know everybody loves the power clip where Justin Fields does the exact same thing as Aaron Rodgers. But outside of that, like, Luke has done such a good job of adjusting and curating the system to what he has. And then the second they added Claypool, there were completely different concepts that, guess what? Claypool's really good at from running outside, and you kick Mooney down into the slot, who I think takes a lot of heat, and I think he's much better than people tell him, say that he is.
Yeah.
You kick Mooney into the slot, he has some strengths, and they started having some completely different route concepts. Like, we hadn't seen slot fade from Chicago that much, and then all of a sudden, we saw it the first game that Claypool and Mooney are on the field together. Like, that, to me, is really good coaching. And Hackett, to me, more or less, is still in that phase of, like, I need to give Russ input and all this. And I think, like, there's something to be said about Hackett from the outside looking in seems like such a genuinely good person, which worries me on if he can be successful. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not trying to say that you have to be a bad person off the field, but, like, you have to have a little bit of amount of ego where it's like, nope, it's my way. Like, I'm not listening. Like, we're running this organization like I want to run it, because guess what? You're going to get fired in 18 months if you don't anyways. So you might as well run it exactly how you want, because the worst thing that ever, you know, the worst thing to happen is now you're going to go be an OC for the rest of your life, or a QB coach the rest of your life. No one will ever give you a head job again. And you're going to sit back and go, man, I wish I wouldn't have given those players that much input. Right? Like, that's the reality of the business. So I think Luke's doing a really good job up there in Chicago. I don't see a ton of similarities. The run game more than the pass game, you could say. But even I just think Chicago to me, if you look at the broad scope of new coaches, Miami is a cut above everybody, in my opinion, of doing really innovative stuff. Chicago is right there and then it's everyone else in terms of adjusting to who they have.
Yeah, and Mike McDaniel's done a tremendous job. He also has Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. You mentioned Chase Claypool a moment ago. There was a huge debate in Bears Twitter or Bears media, wherever. Like, people thought they overspent for Chase Claypool, which to me, like, it costs what it costs. You know, I would have preferred to pay a 6th-round pick, like what the Browns paid for Amari Cooper. But you know what? Sometimes that's not realistic. No. How big of an – I know you mentioned it, you touched on it briefly, but how big was that, bringing in Chase Claypool? How big – how does the Bears receivers room look right now? Because I'm not saying it's what they got going on in Miami, but I also don't think it's the worst thing in the world.
It's not. And this is what people – this is what we don't – this is what we take for granted. You bring in a guy like Chase Claypool, and let's say – we've decided he's our bona fide number one over Mooney. Let's say that we've decided that. I'm not sure that I would really go that far, because I do think Mooney's much better than we're saying. But let's say we say Claypool's our bona fide number one. Mooney is all of a sudden a really good number two receiver, in my opinion, when you look at the actual tape and not just off of like what people aren't familiar with him, right? Like, that's a whole different discussion in like the national perspective. But then all of a sudden, like, you start going down the list of like, okay, now our number three receiver. And then all of a sudden you factor in Cole Kmet and you do all these things. That's what makes it so good to me, that trade, is because it's like, do I think Claypool is the best number one receiver in the NFL? No. But do I think now all of a sudden, like, you look at the 1-2 comparatively to the league, I think it's above average. Yeah. And I think in terms of like, you know, you could say you overspent. We also have a lot of cap space, and we haven't done a lot for this kid who we're trying to see if he's a franchise quarterback. So maybe it's okay to overspend in one area to give the poor guy a shot back there. You know what I mean? So that's where, like, I think it's all relative. But I do think that that room's better. And I just think a lot of me, I love the formations where if you get Cole backside as the tight end, we call them nub sets, where the tight end's the last guy backside. You get Claypool extended as the number one, and you get Mooney in either the two or the three. You get into those sets. There's so many things from a D coordinator's perspective that's hard. Okay, let's say, I bumped the corner over, right? Because that's what you think. Yeah. Hey, we're going to bump the corner over. We'll drop the safety down. So what happens when they run read zone to that side? Now you have your fastest player, the corner, away from where Justin Fields runs. Good luck. So now you bump the corner inside, kick those safeties over. So now you got a corner one-on-one with Cole. Right? Good luck stopping those corner stops, those cops routes we talk about where he bodies it up and Justin fits it in. Okay, so now we leave the shell even. Okay, we'll just run the ball. Like, there's so many things now. And then all of a sudden, if you say, okay, well, we're going to kick to single high and then we'll man the front side nickel. So now you have a nickel on Mooney with let's call it 23 yards of space to work from his alignment to the sideline. Like, there's just so many things you can do from a like nerd on film perspective that is so exciting. So that's where I think that trade is such a big thing long term for the Bears. I don't think like we're going to see the full effect of it because you're trying to catch them up to everything right now, but you will see the full effect of it come week one next year.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are a little impatient. And again, I go back to the Madden has been great for the NFL. Yeah. It's also ruined people to be like, dude, you just don't trade for somebody. And then he comes in being the same amazing player you saw over in Pittsburgh. It's going to take a little bit of time, and his snaps decreased last week. But you know what? Again, we're playing the long game here. And it's one of those things that this is what we want to see. And we want to see the development. And what do we need? By the way, I did want to go back and address, you can call Darnell Mooney a number one in this show. Like, we're good with that. We're one of the Darnell Mooney shows of record.
The reason I say that is because I don't know who it was, but someone was like, Justin Fields.
I have a couple of ideas who it probably was.
I can't remember who, but it was like, his best receiver is a number three receiver. I'm like, Mooney is not a number three receiver. You would have to watch 7 clips of that kid running routes to say, yeah, he ain't a number three receiver in the NFL. He's a really good receiver, and I think he's – talk about a guy, you know, Fields was different from the first, you know, week one to now.
Yeah.
Mooney, in terms of the way he's starting to set up his routes, meaning like, hey, we're on the left hash and I've got a sail on the right hash. I'm going to outside release it. Now we're to the boundary. I'll inside release it. He's doing really exotic stuff that like normal people don't care about. And I'm sitting in my office like geeked up, right? Calling my wife. Hey, I know you're homeschooling 4 children, but I got something to talk to you about, right? Like, there's like really exciting stuff that I think he's doing that. Yeah. I don't know. I think that, Yeah, Mooney, to me, he's on that cusp of, I think he could develop into like a bona fide one. No one would question it. But even right now, if you say he's the two in there, like, that's so darn good comparatively. Yeah.
No, I like when you think of it in an NBA Jam perspective, you're like Claypool, Mooney, you're like, okay, I'll take that. I think that's a pretty good combo. And I think it's one of those things too, because that's what everybody's been calling for. Like, that was the whole offseason. Like, get this guy some weapons. You're like, okay, how about this guy? Like, well, not that. figure out what you want then. You either want him to be protected or you don't. There's a lot of things. The offensive line has looked better when Justin has started running more in the in the early downs. At the end of the game, the last 2 weeks, we've seen kind of those deficiencies kind of rear their ugly head. Now, at the last drive against Detroit, I don't know if I'm going to assume you saw it.
Yep.
Should they have still run? I felt like they got away from the run a little bit too quick. Yeah. Should they have continued to be like, We'll be cutting it close time-wise, but you got to still run it, right, in one of those two-minute drills?
Well, I think they fell in love with Justin will create and not that we have to have a great concept, right? Not that we have to have good run plays or a good mixture. They're just like, hey, put the ball in that kid's hand, he'll create, which partly is true. The other part of it is you still have to realize he's a second-year quarterback, and we got to, you know, there's still some things that we got to help along. So, yes, they should have kept running the ball. The reason, though, the protection has gotten, you know, astronomically better with him running is, what do? You reduce twists. You can no longer ET or TE, right? When people say ET, it's just in first, tackle second. TE is tackle first, in second when they twist. That's all it is. You reduce those because if you're running the ball and you catch somebody in a twist, there are gaping holes. Like, whenever you watch it, like Sunday Night Football, and they're like, I could have ran through that. It's because they were in a twist, right? Yeah. No human on planet Earth can move a 300-pounder that wide. It's because they started moving and we caught them in the right look, right? But that's why. And then you add the component of, we're not traditional run. It's QB run as well. We can read it. And you just scare a D coordinator to the point that, like, we can't twist on early downs. Then when they get into pass situations and they twist, you still see the deficiencies in terms of communication, sliding them the right direction. What's hard for me is I'm not in there, so it's really hard for me to say, man, it's on the center or it's on Justin. That Mike declaration, though, people take for granted on how important it is to just simply turn the line the correct way in terms of, hey, you know, 48's the Mike or 53 or whatever it is, and making sure our line's going the right way. Part of me thinks that that'll improve as more gets put on Justin's shoulders if it is going through the center right now, because a quarterback always, when they're in control of it, it's way better because they know, okay, hey, boom, I moved them this way. My vulnerability's here. If I have a dealer's choice, those concepts we were talking about Chicago likes, I'm going to start my eyes here because I got to know where my deficiencies are too. So there are things that'll help as he becomes more in control. And then if he is in control of it right now and there's still the deficiencies, he's probably just not used to every look, and he will get to that point that he's used to it. And it's one of those things that, like, he'll get there quicker because it's protecting himself, right? Like, there's a lot of things where, you know, we all have certain things we care about, and then there's things that affect us and we really care about, right? So to me, it's like, that's going to be something that he's going to do a really good job with as he just progresses years-wise in the NFL.
Oh, my gosh. This was so, by the way, I got to tell you, this is amazing. Thank you so much. We got to be moving on, but thank you so much for breaking it down. Thank you for explaining everything. I feel better now. Not that I ever not felt better. I was been driving this bus, this hype train forever. But it's good to get somebody who, you know, outside of me, somebody who knows what they're talking about. So we cannot thank you enough. I hope we can bring you back sometime. I would love to.
I'd love to
continue to talk about this some more. But let everybody know. Oh, there you see T Jenkins Elite on Twitter. Go check it out. Even if you're not a Bears fan, if you want to just go around and watch some of the best quarterback breakdowns from around the NFL, make sure you go check that out. It's going to be a worthwhile endeavor, and you can see the passion. That's the one cool thing about it, is that you love it, and we can feel that through the screen. I teach my students at Chapman University. I'm always like, you got to have that passion, and you certainly got that. So thank you so much for being here.
I appreciate you, brother. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. There he goes. The great Tim Jenkins. Make sure you are following him on Twitter. His breakdowns, unbelievable. One of the best in the business. And I'm glad we were able to clear the air on a couple of issues. And speaking of clearing the air, we spend 90% of our time indoors, and indoor air can be 5 times dirtier than the air outside. An air purifier can remove tobacco smoke, odors, VOCs, mold, wildfire smoke, chemicals, and viruses from our breathing air. And right now, if you use the code 67, you'll get 7% off your purchase from www.airpura.com. That's www.airpura.com. And I know our friend Sean, who watches the games with us at Rip Beer Company in Huntington Beach, PCH location, where we'll be this Sunday. He bought one recently and he loves it. All right. Making a return to the show. He's a senior writer for Sports Illustrated. And God, it's been 10 years. No, 5 years. 5 years. Still 5 years. It's amazing. And before that, he was a member of the NFL media's Around the NFL team, providing excellent coverage on all our platforms. By there, he's a alumnus also of Syracuse, which means he's smart. And although this summer, a lot of people would have disputed that because he was running around telling everybody that Justin Fields needed to enter the transfer portal. But you know what? He is here to talk about that right now. Wanted to come address this right now. So please welcome to the show our friend, legitimately our friend, Connor Orr. Connor, what's up, buddy?
How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. I was very thrilled to see your note today or this week where you're like, hey, I want to come back on the show. Because a lot of times people will say things and then they disappear into the wilderness. But you're willing to come head on and talk about some of the things that you said. So what's happening?
Oh, so I sent it to you on Sunday. I actually wrote an apology to the Bears. I staged it as an email to Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles, because I'm assuming that they have my email blocked in some sort of internal filter at this point.
I would think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So I figured why not just post it to the masses? And listen, I've been talking with my editors a lot about this. As I've kind of developed into this NFL columnist role, there has to be humility in this thing. Like we can't just like keep standing on horrible takes. I think if I can come out there and say like, hey, I was dead wrong on this. Here's why I think I was dead wrong on this. Please forgive me. And let's move on to the next thing. I think that makes it a better place to be a fan, to be a reader, to be a writer. So I was like, you know what, let's kick this off by saying sorry to the Bears.
And we love that. And it's one of the things, and it's a lesson, you know, I had to learn a couple of years ago where I famously picked the 49ers to finish 3-13. The year that they ended up going to the Super Bowl, ultimately losing to the Kansas City Chiefs. But at some point, you know, your take is horrible. And you're like, and you know, I think that as long as you explain why you feel that way. And for me, it was the questions about Jimmy Garoppolo. We don't know about this. We didn't know that Nick Bosa was going to be as good as he was. And people are like, okay, you're an idiot, but okay. I think again, you came on during the summer, you explained your reasoning. I just, you know what? People are like, okay, you've got a reason for believing this. And I think having the, as you said, humility to go out there and address it, and people will be like, okay, yeah. Connor made a mistake and we're cool. And I hope that you can be as over in Chicago as I am in the Bay Area, because they love me in the Bay Area now. And I think that we'll get that. We'll get you over in Chicago. What has the response been like? And people, I know that Chicago does have a certain, like there's certain 49er fans who I know will never forgive me. And I'm sure that a lot of the meatballs, there'll be guys who will never forgive you of this, but how has the response been?
Well, so just a funny story before I get to that. So I pick every team's record every year. And I picked last year, I picked the Bengals to go 3-14. And that's the worst week of the year for me, because they connect me with our in-house PR team, gets me to go on every radio station in the country, basically. And you say, why do you think we're awesome? Or why do you think we stink? And it was at the end of like 2 weeks of this. And then I was on with Mo in Cincinnati, who.
Mo Egler.
Yes. So we love each other now. Everything's great. But it was at the end of like 2 weeks and I was just sick of doing them. And then he's like, you know, I think the Bengals are going to be better than you think. And then I just stopped and I was like, find 4 wins on that schedule, find them and show me. And like, I was defiant and I was angry and I was tired. he had me on this year and he's like, are we cool? I was like, yeah, I'm an idiot. sorry about that. I'm writing a cover story on Joe Burrow. And, but in fairness, So I was reporting that story out and I told all the players that I interviewed that I picked them to finish with three or four wins. I couldn't remember what it was, but I was like, full transparency here. I'm a jerk, but
Rick, I'm that guy. Yeah.
Yeah. So I believe in that. But my response from Bears fans has been really great. It was funny. The only negative comment that I got from a Bears fan, cause I don't know why I still have direct messages open, but I do. Someone was like, yeah, this was great. I really appreciate it. However, your shots at Elon Musk are unwarranted. In the
oh, comments. That's fair.
I was like, all right.
That's fair. It must have been Mike North.
I just he's going to shut the platform down. I don't think I was wrong about that.
No, you were fine.
But yeah, no, it's been great. I feel like I've gained some new friends in the process.
No, 100%. I think sports fans are like that because they really, I've always found that they really get upset with the people who dig in their heels and will not concede like this was wrong. That was, you know, like, cause it, and it happens. Like you said, we have to pick these things in June. So many things happen. So similarly, I predicted the Commanders to win 3 games, maybe 4. And so all the Commander fans are coming after me. I'm an idiot. And then it goes to where it's like, what were they? 2-4, 2-5, whatever it was. Started off terribly. Then there's a whole nation of Commanders fans who are like, oh, Rank was actually right. We're sorry. And then Taylor Heinicke comes in as quarterback and they're like, nope, Rank, you were terrible. I'm like, you guys, like, I can't predict that Taylor Heinicke is going to come in, play and be a bad quarterback and still somehow find a way to manage to win games. Although the players love him. There's something to be said about that. So I do appreciate what you've been saying about the Chicago Bears. What do you think about the team right now? What do you think has been, I mean, it's easy to say that it's the designed runs and everything like that, but what has been the biggest difference for Chicago this year from your estimation?
I think it's the offensive line. And I remember you and I arguing about this, like what, you know, and your point, which ended up being the right one was, well, why can't a 5th-round pick be a legitimate starting offensive lineman in his first year? Why can't some of these guys play better than they've ever played before? And my thought was, I was working off of, so I know one coach who runs this system in another place told me once that it takes 2 years for these guys to get completely comfortable with everything, the movements, the footing, all that kind of stuff. And as far as I knew, most of these guys had not done this routinely in their prior careers. And so you watch some of the tape, and again, they've moved away from some of the core sort of wide zone concept stuff, but some of the footwork is the same. And you watch the tape and they're just like, these guys are athletic. They're big. I was really impressed. It was something that I didn't see coming. And obviously the design runs help negate some of the pressure. They're not on islands all the time, but man, I mean, just the athleticism, I think, was something that really blew me away up front.
Yeah. And it's been nice to see. I know that, you know, and Braxton Jones will still go out there and make some mistakes. Tevin Jenkins has ended up somehow being our best offensive lineman. Even with Cody Whitehair fully healthy, I think we would all agree that when Tevin Jenkins is in there, he's been a huge difference maker. But yeah, the design runs, we were just talking about it with Tim a moment ago. Like, you know what? Those are the things that really help a quarterback develop. And so now we're looking at it. We're like, okay, I'm going to ask you though, because there's a huge divide amongst the Bears fans. And we have there's groups, you know, I think I'm going to fall into this group of, I want to see us win. I want to see us win games. And I know that not winning ugly necessarily, but like wins still matter to me. I still want to go to a game and watch it and be like, ah, we beat the Dolphins. We beat the Lions. And then there are other people who are like, no, it's cool that we lose. We want a draft pick. What do you think's the best way? Like, what do you think? Like, what school of thought do you come down on?
I mean, especially this year, like, who do you want? I mean, you know, I think there's going to be 2 quarterbacks in the top 2, and you don't need one of those. And so I think everything in the middle, you just sort of trust your process. You know, there's going to be great players at 3, and there's going to be great players at 15. You know, I would guess that's your window somewhere in there, probably 15, 16. I think you have to win games, because even though there's a year-to-year turnover, I think Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles and these guys, they have to, and which I think they did with the Chase Claypool trade a little bit, they have to make that clear in their locker room that like, hey, we're not playing patty cake with your prime athletic years. You know, we're taking this seriously. We want you guys to win games. That's what we're all here for. That's how everybody else looks good. And so I think that that's the thing that has to come across, because, you know, I've done big investigations on tanking with Hugh Jackson and the Cleveland Browns. We've done other ones at the magazine on the Dolphins at the time. And the underlying thing here is, if you put players through that scenario, they're going to break down emotionally, physically. And, you know, there's no rebuilding from that. So I you can't put your team in a position to lose. And I know you could argue that they might have with trading Roquan Smith, but you got somebody back that I argue probably helps them a little bit more in the immediate.
No, I agree. And I understand, like, the Bobby Quinn trade. Now they got a fourth rounder for him. He doesn't even play for the Philadelphia Eagles now. They haven't been using him. He could be somebody that makes an impact for them down the stretch. Roquan was not going to re-sign with the team. He wanted to go somewhere else. So you got to pick for him. You got a second rounder. Like, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good return. So I don't think that anybody should be too upset about that. And I don't get the sense that they're tanking. I think that they want to win. They're invested. They're trying. They're competitive. And so that part of it has been good. One team that's not been competitive is the Green Bay Packers. What is up with them? Are they done? Like, I listen, I always look at it like it's a scary movie. And I'm like, until I see the body, I'm not going to assume that they're dead. But are the Packers dead?
And even then, when you see the body, sometimes
even then, I don't believe it. I won't believe it.
They make a second one and he's alive somehow. I don't know. Last night was bewildering to me. That Titans game was, you know, because there are games that you see them play in where there are no open wide receivers. And you're like, okay, you know, they're limited in what they can do. And I get it. I understand it. Last night, Aaron Rodgers was missing throws. And he was missing throws by a centimeter against the Lions. He was missing throws by like 2 or 3 inches against the Titans. And that's a big deal, especially when you're a guy who relies on precision. Every time he throws to Sammy Watkins, there's some sort of passive aggressive fist slamming. And it's just the whole thing looks like a disaster. AJ Dillon to me has been the biggest. And I know the offensive line's got some issues, but like, that guy should be, he's built to roll over people. And I've been stunned at the lack of just pop in short yarded situations. They couldn't gain a yard when they needed it last night. And they didn't even have AJ Dillon in the game. And I'm stunned. You know, I think that's probably the best way to put it. Every team's hurt, every team's injured, and they have no excuse for this.
Yeah, it has been a stunning downfall. I know, you know, in a fantasy sense, I really liked Aaron Jones coming into the season. He played well last night. At least he got double digit fantasy points for me, and they lost, which is exactly the scenario I'm always aiming for. But it's been like, I remember during the draft process of the fantasy draft process, I should say, so everybody's like, well, if I don't get Aaron Jones, I'll get AJ Dillon. He's just as good. And it is just not proven to be the case. It was Davante Adams, though, was he the one? Was he just holding it all together?
My understanding was that even if it was like sort of a Roquan situation, right? Where like, I don't think he wanted to be there forever. Yeah. I think he wanted to be somewhere else. And so that situation, I don't think is really on Aaron. I don't think it's really on anybody. It's like, he didn't, I just get the sense that he would have rather go somewhere else. And so I think when he leaves, one coach explained it to me this way. If you lose someone like Davante Adams or Julio Jones, prime Julio Jones, one of these guys, you need to replace him with the component parts of his skill set in order to make that offense work. They have not done that. I think they thought they might have done that, but these guys aren't ready. They're not on the same page. And then you have the second element to this, which is that Aaron Rodgers likes to break the pocket and he likes guys to be where he wants them to be. That takes time. We've been saying that about Aaron Rodgers for years, but these have been professional wide receivers, not young guys. And so I think this has been a difficult process for them.
Yeah. You think about Christian Watson, how well he's played over the last couple of weeks, at least near the end zone. If he was doing that as a number two with Davante Adams there, I think that it would look much different than, hey, you need to be the number one guy on a quarterback who wants to win right now in a team that's not that's built to win right now, as opposed to the Bears, who are building for the future. Circling back to the Bears, what do you want to see from them for the rest of the season? Like, what is the goal? Like, what do you need to see? Like, again, fans being who they are, but do you, like, in a national media sense, like, what do you want to see from the Bears over the next couple of weeks?
So we took the looking at the end of the Detroit game, right? And Justin, you know, they started, they had a guy that was exclusively reserved for preventing him to run, you know, a faster defender. And so what that means is you're losing somebody on the back end pass in your pass defense. And so the end of that game where they need the field goal to tie it, Justin is getting man to man, right? Which is something that Peyton Manning in your later years and, you know, all these guys are going to just dissect so routinely. And it's easy for them. I think I want to see Justin get to the point where he really forces defenses into the Josh Allen conundrum, right? Where it's like, we have no choice. Like right now, teams are like, we're going to sell out to stop the run. Prove it to me on the back end with the pass. And again, the receivers, they're still developing. I think their talent there. But I want to get to the point where I want to see Justin Fields, and I think he can do it, is put them in a no-win position. And right now, defenses still have us. They have a place where they can dig in and they can kind of make that stop if they need to make that stop. I want to see him get to the point where you line up in man and we're just going to torch you, you know? And I think that I think they could get there.
Yeah, I agree with you. I feel the same way. So if you were doing the 2021 NFL draft quarterback class again, who is your top pick? I don't know. I don't know if I should ask you this because I feel like we're friends now, but I'll allow you. Who rank the quarterbacks from that class?
I would still take Trevor Lawrence.
That's fair.
First. Okay. I would probably take Fields second.
Yeah.
And then help me out here.
No, it's fine. Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, Mac Jones.
Trey Lance, Zach. Okay, so I would take Trey Lance next. I would take Zach Wilson or Mac Jones next, and then Zach Wilson last.
Very distant. No, I'm just kidding. But no, but I think that's fair. And I think like that's the one thing. I'm glad that the Bears fans and Jaguars fans have not been going after it too much. Not like the Jets and Bears fan, like next week, it's gonna be a nightmare, but I think that's fair. And I think that, you know, everybody watched Trevor Lawrence for so long. He was a guy that we wanted to play in the NFL during his freshman season. We'll not be upset with you about that. I think that we've done a great thing here. Let's let everybody know how we can reach Connor on the Oh, Sammy. Sammy, he's our friend. Sammy, first of all, he's our friend. He's our friend. Oh, I love it. Sad Rod. Don't do that to yourself. Listen, back in August, I thought we had a great conversation. I was not upset with you. I was like, okay, I disagreed, but I was not upset. And I'm glad the Bears fans have been very cool as you gave your mea culpa a couple of days ago. So we appreciate that. So everybody who's listening to us right now, if you're watching the show on YouTube or Facebook, comment the word sick. Let us know that Connor's a good guy. We're not mad at him. We're going to be nice. He does not. I got to work on getting Jason Lockenfora on because I got to, that's another friend of mine that I need to, who will not do this. So we got to figure out a way to do that. But I don't know if you and Jason crossed paths when you were at the NFL, but in any event, want to thank you for doing this. It is always a pleasure. And hopefully we can have you back again sometime and continue to talk about the development of Justin Fields because I feel the same way as you. Want to start seeing him take advantage of that man coverage. So I think we're all good. So, again, Bears fans, if you said something mean to Connor, you better take it back now. But I want to thank you for being here and thank you for doing this.
All right. Thank you, Adam. Thanks, Bears fans.
By the way, before he comes on, I just want to make a quick announcement about Underdog Fantasy. That's right. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest way to play fantasy sports. It's simple to get started. Just head to underdogfantasy.com or download the app, sign in with the promo code SICK, and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. Listen, if your fantasy league is not going the way you wanted it to, you can go to Underdog Fantasy right now, sign up, get a new team, play some of the contests. It's essentially, there's like an over-under game. It's amazing. It is so much fun. It is going to be the way that you're going to be playing fantasy football in the future. But don't tell our next guest. No, this is why I had to get this out now. But I want our friends at Underdog. They do a great job. There's a lot of great content out there. I think you should always consume it. But by the way, we've got a special treat for you. This young man is one of the fastest rising stars in all of fantasy football. I would even say in sports general in coverage, because I have been a huge fan of his for quite some time, and now he's getting a bigger platform. Now, he's a proud alumnus of Mars Hill University in North Carolina. He's had a vast array of experience. You might not know this. He started with Fantasy Pros covering college basketball before starting to cover NFL. He had his Lord Don't Lose podcast. And of course, at some point, when you're this good, one of the big boys is going to come up and snatch you up. And that's exactly what NBC Sports Roto-World did probably over a year ago. I think it's been over a year. And of course, he's part of the Matthew Berry Happy Hour show. He's part of the Fantasy Life newsletter. You've seen him everywhere. Please welcome to the show. I don't know if I should call this Fantasy Isle or if I should call this Rank's Rival, because he kind of fills both buckets. But please welcome to the show our friend, Lawrence Jackson Jr.
What it do, man? What's happening, man? That's got to rank, no pun intended, amongst the best intros that I'd have never heard, man. Appreciate that.
No, we appreciate everything that you do. And I know that our producer was giving you a hard time for wearing a Braves hat. And I want to tell you, first of all, number one, I will always have a lot of affinity for the Atlanta Braves. The first ball game I ever went to was at the old Fulton County Stadium when I was a kid. We actually lived for a year in Stone Mountain, Georgia.
Okay.
And so, I mean, I was too, I wasn't even in first grade, but you know, so I always have a little bit, like, cause I don't, apparently I was not, my parents never took me to Wrigley Field for whatever reason. And then when we got to Atlanta, I went to a game. And then, you know, and then also the Braves beat the Dodgers last year. So the Braves are always cool with me. You had Freddie Freeman for the longest time as well. But how are you? How is everything going for you?
Yeah, man, I can't complain, you know, man, just getting to work, you know, putting out this content, and we are trying to, you know, make the best predictions we can while still winning them fantasy leagues. So it's crazy that we in week 11 right now, man, but that's just how I go. Off season, always all of the buildup. And then it's like the season is like the actual wedding. You know how you do all the planning for a wedding and then the wedding is gone like that? That's where we at.
So crazy to already think that we're in week 11. And 11, incidentally, is the number of targets that Kyle Pitts has had in the entire season. What is going on with your guy? Like that, one thing that'll always stand out to me when I think of the 2021 season, outside of the Bears stuff and the Bears playing so well and Justin Fields looking like an amazing player, the Kyle Pitts thing will stun me forever. I feel like we'll be studying this for years.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. We wouldn't have to study it if Arthur Smith actually just used the players he drafted. Now, a lot of people from Atlanta wanted the Falcons to draft Justin Fields. Fields from Georgia. He grew up like 35 minutes away from Atlanta or whatever. So Atlanta don't take Justin Fields. Okay, cool. You draft Kyle Pitts. The next year you draft Drake London and you're running the offense that the Bears are running right now, which this offense that the Falcons are running will be great for Justin Fields right now. It will be utilizing the quarterback strengths. The problem is we don't got Justin Fields. We got Marcus Mariota, who's like a bridge quarterback right now. So now it's like, all right, man, why didn't you draft Justin Fields? But it's okay, though, because now they're going to pay. Because now he's coming to Atlanta, and he's going to show them what they missed out on.
Do Atlanta fans, do they want Justin to come out and have a huge game and be like, "This, you deserve this. You deserve this, Arthur Smith. You deserve this, Arthur Blake. Yeah, this is what definitely. You get."
Yeah, they Atlanta Falcons, people in Atlanta is definitely more ready to say, "I told you so." And especially if they lose the game, that'll be the double whammy for Justin Fields, because Justin Fields been going off, but the Bears been losing. But if he go off and they win, which is a great possibility against the Falcons, you know, then that'll give Atlanta fans the even more reason to say, "I told you so, Mr. Arthur."
Oh my gosh. It's such a, I remember draft night, and if you know anything about me, which you do, I was all about Justin Fields, huge fan of his at Ohio State, loved him. I had him as the number one quarterback coming into this draft. I knew Trevor Lawrence was going to Jacksonville, so there's really no concern there. And I was really worried, not so much about San Francisco, because I'm like, San Francisco's going to do something. So I actually thought San Francisco was going to trade for Aaron Rodgers. So I wasn't worried about them so much. And then when the Aaron Rodgers things fell off, you're like, okay, well, maybe, but they're going to go Trey Lance or Mac Jones, yeah, like, or whatever. Atlanta was the one that always stuck out to me. Like, God, why is it that I'm like, Atlanta was playing it too cool to where you're like, oh, they're probably drafting him. Cause you don't like, that's, I got to go back and look through my predictions piece back then. Cause I really do believe that I was like, Atlanta's got to take him. I mean, I can understand the philosophy of like, you have Matt Ryan. You think that you can continue to compete. Yeah, maybe you can
have a guy Julio like that at the time too.
Yeah. You're like, okay, so this, you can sell this to me about like, all right, that makes sense. But at the same time, you're like, I think Justin Fields is amazing. And I would rather have the quarterback than the tight end. And it's kind of working out that way.
Yeah. And what's crazy is as much as, you know, whatever the hell the Falcons is doing right now, they're 4-6 right now. If Kyle Pitts had 700 receiving yards right now, nobody would care because we would be saying, all right, cool. They just get a quarterback in the draft. And like you, prior to Justin Fields even becoming a Bear, I was on him as my top quarterback coming out of the draft. Again, this kid from Georgia, him and Trevor Lawrence from Georgia. So we kind of heard about these dudes for a long time. They've been linked together for an extremely long time. So now that you got Kyle Pitts here and he got like 17 yards on the season, we like, what the hell? At least let him get some fantasy stats. We ain't winning. Because we could pair him with a quarterback in the next draft and it'd be cool. But now we questioning like, all right, does it even matter who the quarterback is? If we run in Tyler Algier, no disrespect to him, but he's not the fourth overall pick in the draft. You know, so it's just wild, man. It'll be interesting to see how this game shakes out because the Bears offense has been on fire. And the Atlanta Falcons run game is very respectable.
Yeah, it feels like I don't expect it to be very high, even though people look at the defenses and be like, oh, this is going to be a huge shootout. But I think they're both going to run. This is something Cynthia talked about when she was on the show last week about when you get these teams that run the football, the games end up being shorter because like the clock's constantly moving. So it feels like the Falcons, to the detriment of the guys they drafted over the last 2 years, don't want to throw the football, which is fine. And I understand that, but how do you see this breaking down? How is the Falcons run defense? Should the Bears have an opportunity? I know a lot of people, and this is like real life in fantasy. Is David Montgomery going to be a huge play this week?
He's one of the biggest plays. I don't even see how he's outside the top 15 plays, and that's even playing it too short. You saw what Deontay Foreman has done to them twice in the past 3 weeks. Obviously, Austin Eckler had a big game against the Falcons as well. So running backs have been eating at a great rate against the Falcons defense recently. And, you know, now that Khalil Herbert's out of the mix, you could pretty much say that David Montgomery is going to get the work that Khalil Herbert got when Montgomery was out. I wouldn't worry too much about your boy Tristan Ebner.
He's my guy. I love him, but yeah.
He had 7 touches the one game and 8 touches in the other that Montgomery was out. So I would expect him to come in and give David Montgomery a breather, but this a chance for Montgomery to get right. I like Cole Kmet too. He been stepping up. And speaking of the running game, Justin Fields done threw at least 2 touchdown passes in 3 straight games. So the pass game, especially against the Falcons, like you could have that versus them. I think anything's on the table now. I know you expect the game to go fast, but with this game being over under a 49, that did come down from 50. So maybe the under is something to look at. But both defenses, will have opportunities to give the other offenses a lot of yardage. And then it's going to come down to who has the ball last. And I just think it's going to be Justin Fields, and he'll make that play that he didn't get the opportunity to against the Lions last week.
Well, it's been back-to-back weeks. He had an opportunity against the Dolphins too. And, you know, you probably heard the end of the conversation we were having with Connor. about how you want them to start finishing these drives and start finishing these games. Because both times I've been ultimately confident, like, oh, well, Justin's going to do it. He's going to pull it out. I want to continue to have that feeling, but we still need at one point for him to come out and do it. And I think that every great quarterback in the NFL has always had that moment of like, okay, this is where it was. This is where it could have been. And I think going back to Atlanta, doing it there, and not only did the Falcons pass on him, I mean, obviously, remember, Georgia also chased him up to Ohio State. I don't know what it is about these Atlanta or these Georgia teams.
Yeah. For Jake Fromm.
What are they doing? Like, what are you guys
doing? Come on.
Jake Fromm. It is inexcusable to me. What have you – now, as somebody who's liked Justin Fields since his time at Ohio State, he was your number one quarterback. Obviously, Bears fans take it very personal when guys like Dan Orlovsky or other people go out there and say negative things. And now it's Shady McCoy. How about you? Like, I know that you're not a fan of the Bears, but you're a fan of Justin Fields. Have you been super upset with these guys as well during this the past up until this week?
No, it just go to show, you know, it's like they'll talk like this until it happens. And then the conversation will be like, well, that's what I wanted to see from him. Yeah. But then there's guys like myself. It's like, I've seen it. It's just maybe not at this level, but let them continue to build around him. That's what people need. Like pretty much like Tua, like they finally built around him. Let them continue to build. There's a reason they traded away Roquan Smith and Robert Quinn, but yet brought in Chase Claypool. They're like, you know what? Let's just see what the kid does. Let's see what this offense does. Let's give him something to go the rest of the way of the season, and then we'll reevaluate and we'll see if we want to go all in. I think now they already know they want to go all in. So that's like every quarterback needed. So
it's
like, you know, even, you know, Zach Wilson, I'm giving him time to get better. All these dudes need time. Now, Zach Wilson ain't going to be no Justin Fields when it's all said and done. But still, we got to get these dudes time. So when it comes to what those guys are saying about Fields, it'd be a lot of contradictions. Because at the end of the day, do you want your offense to put up points or do you not? And do you care how it gets done? I don't need a guy to throw for three. He's going to do that. He's going to have games. Eventually, Lamar did it. Justin Fields is going to have games where the team needs him to throw for 300 yards, and that's what they're going to get. But some games, it'll call for him running for 90 and throwing for 190. That's just how these quarterbacks get it done now.
No, and it's true. I mean, we see all the most successful quarterbacks in the NFL right now outside of Tom Brady, but those are the old guys. Like, for lack of a better term, you've been grandfathered in. Like, we'll allow you, Tom Brady, to continue to be excellent.
Yeah, and he's done it for so long. Kind of doing it too.
He's still really great. But you see, like, Matthew Stafford already looks out of place. Matt Ryan looks out of place. Regardless, I mean, if you get to play the Raiders every week, then you look good. But it is guys like, and I'm curious too, like, what do you think about Daniel Jones? Now, number one, I'm thinking about dialing him up in fantasy this week because I think it's a pretty good matchup. Lions, but it's like, this Daniel Jones, like, has he kind of like earned himself a spot in the NFL? Because like the Giants are winning, he's been productive, or is it something else happening there?
Man, I'll tell you what, speaking of that, he's going to be the minimum threshold of mobility that you need at the quarterback position. But he's doing his job. But man, I will tell you this, I won't be surprised if they have another quarterback in 2023. Yeah. Like the Giants are playing some really good football. Like, Saquon is carrying the team, and it kind of goes as Saquon goes. Like, Saquon is playing great. This is best year since his rookie year. If he don't have a good game, those are probably the two games that he lost. Daniel Jones, give him credit. He's doing his job. He's completing the assignment, because at the end, they're winning games. And he has made timely throws in some of the games, even against the Ravens. He made plays at the end well enough, and Lamar Jackson did it. The Giants like to stay close and just make the play at the end. and he could do it. But I won't be shocked if there's another quarterback there. That's the one thing, the one situation I don't know, man. It's wild. Could you see the Giants being like 5 years, whatever? Could you see that for real?
Yeah. And there's Daniel Jones still out there. Yeah. I have a hard time with it. I think that Daniel Jones is the perfect type of backup quarterback for somebody like Justin Fields, where you're like, hey, if you needed somebody to come in and play three games, who you're like, he's athletic. He can run these designed runs. I mean, you saw him against the Bears, and it was all, and it's funny because it's not funny, but Saquon Barkley set up all of Daniel Jones's touchdown runs. And I think that
he had 2 1 week. I forget which team, but it was strictly due to bootleg. That was the Bears. You saw it was like defense is crashing down on Saquon and he's wide open. Listen, so we talked about Justin Fields. We talked about Daniel Jones, right? If you're just watching football, you don't know anything. If you look at these two, you're not saying Daniel Jones is better than Justin Fields at all. Like,
never.
It ain't even close. It ain't. Justin Fields is putting the offense on his, like, they don't do anything without him.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones, they probably could do more if it was somebody else, but they do it. But he's good to do just enough, if that makes sense.
Yep. He's a bare minimum guy. And I think that's what he's giving him. He beat us. So I don't want to. I probably shouldn't bag on him way too much, but I do.
That was before Justin Fields was Superman.
That's true. That's when we are settling.
They don't want to see them today.
No. Not a lot of teams want to see us today, which is good. And I hope it works out for us this week against your Falcons. I'll call them your Falcons because, I don't know, I needed to wedge in. We always do this thing. We have ranked rivals, and we always bring in somebody who comes. And I'm like, I don't know if Lawrence is necessarily like a Falcon. You're not like a Falcons beat writer or anything, but I'm like, that's a good excuse to get you in here. And I'm glad that we add you in here. And again, you fill a couple of buckets too, because of your vast fantasy knowledge. So before I let you go though, I do. I have a personal fantasy. I know that you probably hate this, but I could have just text, because now that I have your number, I'm going to start texting you and annoying you. But I want to know, I got Kirk Cousins this week.
Yeah.
I don't love it.
I don't
know. But I feel like I have to play him though still. Am I crazy? Well, what would you do? Like if you, and it's a touchdown, and it's a league where touchdown passes are worth 6. Mm. So would you still go with Kirk Cousins or would you go pick up Daniel Jones right now?
Ooh.
It's a tough one.
Good matchup for Daniel Jones.
I know. Cause like I look at it because obviously it's a great opportunity to run the football and they're going to run it against Detroit. But I feel like they could be in a similar situation of when they played Chicago, where it's like Daniel Jones could end up running for 2 times. Like he's probably going to rush for at least 40 or 50 yards. So I don't know.
The Giants could, and this is the Lions are away from home too. They always play better at home.
Yeah.
The Giants game could go in so many different ways. Like they could possibly get a lead and just run the ball on him and Daniel Jones does nothing. Most of his production come from people not taking him serious. Nobody care about him running. But Kirk Cousins has that floor that you like especially after seeing what the Packers did to them last week. But because of the rushing upside, I'm going to grit my teeth and say Danny Dimes.
All right.
Give him 2 touchdowns, 250 total yards. That should do you a solid right there. Just no turnovers. Don't turn the ball over. Kirk Cousins could turn that ball over. He'll turn it over.
Yeah, that's true. Against that Cowboys defense.
It's a lot safer now.
Yeah, it's true. Vikings coming off a huge win. Dallas leads the NFL in sacks. You convinced me. And next week, the Minnesota Vikings play the New England Patriots. So you probably don't want to play Kirk Cousins for a couple of weeks. So if you're in a position where you're really desperate for a quarterback, you might want to go and look for somebody. Well, listen, Lawrence, I love this conversation. I hope we can do it again. I know. Definitely, again, you give me. Sure. I want to do this again sometime. I kind of brought you in on a huge show day because I felt like this has been like Lollapalooza. 3 great guests who I would have loved to have spent more time with. I want to spend more time with you at some other point. Can we? So I hope we can do this again.
Most definitely.
All right. Well, listen, let everybody know where they can follow you. Are you on? I always catch your happy hour on Wednesdays. What nights are you on with him?
Yeah. So I'm on there every Wednesday. It'll come on at noon Eastern time, replays at 4 p.m. Eastern, and then again at 9 p.m. Eastern, case for the folks who handling their grind at work.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I didn't know if there were any other days. It just happens to work out for me. I'm driving to my teaching gig at Chapman University, which I felt like I've now name dropped twice. And I hear it and I'm like, I always love to hear your voice. And I think that you bring such a great perspective. Man. You bring a great perspective. And it's one of the reasons why you're one of the most sought after personalities in all of sports, not just fantasy, not just Falcon stuff, but in all of sports. So I'm proud of what you're doing. Keep up the good work. And let's do this again really soon. We'll do a proper visit to Fantasy Isle. And then, but in any time, and if there's anything I can do for you, please don't hesitate to ask.
Yeah, man. Appreciate you having me on, man. You notice I wasn't like, it didn't take me long. As, hey, man, let's do it. We ready to go.
Well, I really appreciate you. I appreciate it. I know you're a very busy man. So I appreciate you carving out the time for us. And don't go away. When I close the show, I want to talk to you afterwards. But so stick around. You stick around. The rest of you, thanks for watching. If you're in the Southern California area, meet us up at Rip Beer Company, Huntington Beach, PCH location. We'll see you then. Until that time, bear down. And Sammy, just go ahead and play us out.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Adam Rank on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. Brought to you by Underdog Fantasy and Air Pura.